Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
Unveiling the abundant life. So it comes from John chapter 10, verse 10. I would say part B, because we often dwell on part A, which talks about the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "But I have come that they might have life, and have it abundantly." So the abundant life is available. So we are trying to get hold of this abundant life. So we said we are going to do this by looking at three cardinal gifts of God. These are gifts that God has given to us. So we said we are going to look at the gift of eternal life. We are going to look at the gift of righteousness. And then we are going to look at the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So today we are going to look at the gift of eternal life. Are you ready, church?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you ready, family?
Amen.
Because this is family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Last week we encouraged people to come with the writing materials. I hope people are laughing, so. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I hope people have brought a pen and a pencil.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. In case you decided to forget, I brought a few notebooks. I've given you a few notebooks. I know my senior pastor is good at writing notes. But today I wanted to give him another one so that he writes more. Thank you. So, Sister Fatima, I think, has some notebooks and pencils. No, ball pens that you can use. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's come to the gift of eternal life. What is it? I think last week when we introduced the subject, we kind of got to John chapter 17. We said this is how Jesus described eternal life. John chapter 17 verse 3. We read John chapter 17 verse 3. The Bible says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So this scripture comes from the prayer that Jesus was praying to the Father. So he describes eternal life as knowing the Father and knowing Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The life that Jesus brought is different from the normal human life. In the Greek language, there are several words that they use to describe life. They are so rich. So they have a word which describes plant life. They have a word which describes animal life. Then they have a word which describes human life. The word that describes human life is called suke. Hallelujah. It's not, I'm just telling, just for illustration purposes. But the life that Jesus brought is called Zoe. We've called our children Zoe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is Zoe? Zoe is the life of God. It's God's own life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is the life that Jesus brought. This is the eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you are this life, you did not have it when you were born. Amen.
Amen.
This God type of life, you had suke when you were born. Your birthday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God for birthdays. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The birthday, that day you got suke, you had the human life. The day you got born again, hallelujah.
Amen.
The day you got born again, now there's controversy in how people understand this. The way I understand it, the day you got born again, God supplanted the suke with Zoe. Not that the two are running together. No, it's your mind which is thinking they are running together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in your spirit, God takes out the suke and plants the Zoe. So you have the eternal life planted in you.
Amen.
When you got born again. If you're not born again, then you have not gotten the eternal life. The Zoe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
1 John chapter 2 verse 17. Let's look at that scripture. 1 John chapter 2 verse 17. He says, the world is passing away and the last of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. It's kind of trying to describe the life that you have. That the world will pass away, but he who abides in the will of God will live forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans 6 verse 4. Romans 6 verse 4, then let's quickly... Then we'll move to verse 23. Romans 6, verse 4. This is how you got the eternal life. As we are approaching Easter, I always encourage people to have this perspective of Easter, that we are not spectators. Hallelujah. We are not celebrating as spectators. We were involved. In fact, the whole thing was for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's not about, oh, he died. You watch the Passion of the Christ. Yeah. Ooh. Amen.
Amen.
You start crying. Who are you crying for? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says, therefore, we were buried with him. We are the ones who were buried because he was doing it on our behalf. So in effect, we are the ones who were buried with him through baptism unto his death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So it's like the way you plant seeds. You plant a seed, you expect a new crop. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The new crop is new. It's not the seed. The seed has produced a new crop. 6:23. I just want to show a scripture which says eternal life is a gift. That's all. That's all I want to show you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember when we began this series, we said the abundant life is in the Good Shepherd. You cannot have the abundant life outside of the Good Shepherd. This verse is also reiterating that eternal life is in Christ Jesus. When I look some of the verses, when you look at them again, you get another sense. So when I read this scripture, I said, oh, so the Bible actually says the wages of sin, which means if you sin, the payment is
death.
Hallelujah. It's like you wake, because you get wages when you wake, which means when you want to sin, you wake. It's you labor. It's difficult. You actually wake to get paid with death. But God is offering you a good solution. A gift, in fact. The opposite. A salary, the salary is death. On the other hand, there's a bonus. For free, you are getting for free eternal life. Just to believe. You know, sometimes we make the gospel very complicated, as difficult. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Eternal life is a gift which you either receive or you don't receive.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So next we are going to look at I call them seven things you must know about eternal life. The number one thing is it's a gift. That's number one you need to know about eternal life. So we have just read that scripture, Romans 6, verse 23. We can also read Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9, which talks about like salvation in general. That salvation is given by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, let's look at verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this eternal life is a gift given to you. You don't work for it. All you can do is receive it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And allow it to function in your life. You remember we said eternal life, we should look at it as a software. So let this software operate in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it will produce what God desired it to produce.
Amen.
So the seven things that you must know about eternal life. Number one is, it is a gift. It is given as a gift. Number two, there is controversy or misunderstanding as to when this eternal life is available. We have listened to sermons during funerals where it has been preached that the person who has died has on that day entered eternal life. I beg to disagree based on scripture. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. There's an interesting story about the rich young ruler who went to Jesus and asked Jesus, Master, Rabbi, how can I inherit eternal life? So Jesus told him, well, you know the commandments. He responded, Master, I've kept all those since I was a young man.
Yeah.
Then Jesus said, okay. So Jesus knew he was rich. So he told him, go and sell all your possessions and come and follow me. Wow. this man, when he thought about what he had, he thought it was a loss. So he couldn't. So Jesus said how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Just like it is difficult for a camel to go through the needle of the eye. The eye of the needle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Several conclusions have been made based on this scripture. Okay, let me finish it first. So when he said those words, the Bible says his disciples, particularly Peter, the quick one, he said, Master, so who is going to enter heaven? Meaning that he realized that, oh, this concerns us. Meaning that he was also rich. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus said, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Meaning that you can be rich and enter heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, I have come with the life. And that he said life first, then he said they should have it more abundantly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What I've read is that in Jerusalem there used to be a barrier. There was a barrier. When you enter the city, you had to go through a barrier. We have these roadblocks. You have a pole which extends on the road. So when traders were coming from outside Jerusalem to enter Jerusalem, they had to go through that barrier. So you know a camel has this hatchback on its back. So Jesus was trying to say, this camel cannot go under this barrier because of the hatchback. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Meaning that maybe your wealth will be like the hatchback if you're not careful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will be the one colliding with the pole. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he ended up by saying, with God all things are possible. I want us to look at what he said from verse 27. Okay, let's start from 27. But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Verse 28. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. Now he added now. When he exclaimed that, oh, so who is going to enter heaven? Now when Jesus said all things are, what is impossible with men, it's possible with God. Then Peter started now revealing. Maybe he had not told Jesus that he was rich. Hallelujah. So he says, then Peter said, so see, we have left all and followed you. Verse 29. So he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife, even wife, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God. Verse 30. Who shall not receive many times, this is the verse I wanted you to read.
Amen.
Who shall not receive many times more in this present time?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in the age to come, eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So for me, eternal life begins now.
Amen.
And continues in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why I think I mentioned last week, if a child of God happens to what the word God calls death, hallelujah, we say he has checked out. Because he's checked out from earth on his way to heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the second thing you know you ought to know is it starts on earth, it continues in heaven. That's number two. Number three, eternal life is a fulfilled life, overflowing now and forevermore. John 4, verse 14. Let's read John 4. So what I want you to catch from there, it's a fulfilled life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
John chapter 4, verse 14. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So eternal life is a fountain. A fountain doesn't run out of water. It's always flowing. So eternal life is a fulfilled life. That is number three. Number four, I hope I'm not going too fast. Number four, eternal life, it's a crossover from death to life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
John chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. I want to briefly expound on death. I know of three kinds of death. Two of them are spiritual, one of them is physical. Death, by God's definition, I would say so, is actually separation from God. That's what death is all about. The first death is a spiritual death, which happened when Adam sinned. The day Adam sinned, he died that day. Or maybe the better way to say is, he started dying that day. Hallelujah. But he was able to walk for, but he was separated from God. That's what I'm trying to say. He was separated from God, but spiritually he was separated from God. Physically, he had life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Until he died the physical death. So the first death is separation from God. When I was going through it, I discovered that we are born dead. Hallelujah. Because, okay, that explains why the birth of Jesus did not involve man and woman coming together. Because the day Adam sinned, I liken it to, we used to play chibako. Akakupaka chibako, malira upake wina. Hallelujah. So the day Adam sinned, anapakidwa chibako. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So all human beings coming out of Adam are sinners.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you must wonder sometimes, when you have a child, does this? Where did he or she learn those things? Hallelujah. That child was born with the nature of sin. So that's why I said we are born sinners. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the first death we already died. Amen.
Amen.
The second death is a physical death. It's a death that we announce. The body will be taken from the funeral, from the mortuary, at what time? So, it's the body. Somebody is dead, you are crying. Hallelujah. So, where is the person? That tells you the person is not the body. Because the body is there, but something has left the body. So, the second death is a physical death. We will all go through physical death. Maybe the only ones who will be raptured are the ones who will escape the physical death, maybe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then the Bible talks about the final death. Here he's talking about, this scripture talks about those who have eternal life will not be judged. Because Jesus will come to judge the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember, we will judge with him, not so. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, this is now where, when you ask people, if Jesus comes today, will you make it to heaven? Then you find some people saying, no, we'll see when it happens. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are not sure. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This death is now permanent separation from God. All people will be raised again and be judged. Amen?
Amen.
So it depends. If you are not born again, if you are not born in the spirit, hallelujah, you are still separated from God. So you'll be judged to eternal punishment. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in that scripture, we are being assured that the one who receives eternal life now, because you will not receive it when he comes again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The one who receives eternal life now has crossed over from death to life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm getting blessed. I hope you are.
Amen.
Number five, eternal life guarantees resurrection. That's according to John chapter 6, verse 54. Let's read John chapter 6, verse 54. When we began, last week, I think we prayed a prayer from Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 17. And we isolated three things. We said, the prayer says, the eyes of your understanding must be enlightened with light, so that you may know the hope of your calling, the glorious riches of his, meaning God's, inheritance in the saints. We are the saints. God has an inheritance in us. And the exceeding greatness of the power to us who believe, which was wrought in Christ Jesus when he was raised from the dead. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, that power became available to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's the resurrection power became available to us. John 6 verse 54 says, whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So even if you die physically, you will be raised again.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, your resurrection is guaranteed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are doing good, right?
Amen.
We are on number 6.
Amen.
What you need to know about eternal life is that you cannot perish, nor be snatched. That's according to John chapter 10, verse 28. You will not perish. John chapter 10, verse 28. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I get worried when Christians say, Satan and Jerera. It's contrary to what God has designed you to be. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, don't say that statement again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Eternal life. With eternal life, you cannot perish. And you cannot be snatched. No one can snatch you. Hallelujah. The good shepherd is always there for you. So the Bible says, and I give them eternal life, that's Jesus talking, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
Amen.
You are in the palm of Jesus. He's looking after you. No one can snatch you. You are unsnatchable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what you are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The seventh one, the last one. I picked 7 because 7 is a complete number. So at least if you know this 7.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if there are too much, you will forget some of them. So at least let's just pick 7. So the 7th one, eternal life is a calling upon your life. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. It's a calling. It's a gift, it's a calling. The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So we began number 1, gift. We are ending number 7, calling. So eternal life is both a gift and a calling. The gifts and calling of God, that's, I think, Romans 11, verse 29, if I'm not mistaken, are without repentance, meaning that God, when he gives the gifts, when he calls, he never changes his mind.
Amen.
The gift is always there. The calling is always there. He's waiting for you. And he's waiting for you forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the last one is, it's a calling. Just to run through quickly. Number 1, eternal life is a gift. Number 2, eternal life starts on earth, continues in heaven. Number 3, eternal life is a fulfilled life overflowing now and forevermore. Number 4, eternal life is a crossover from death to life. Number 5, eternal life guarantees resurrection. Number 6, With eternal life, you cannot perish nor be snatched away. Then number 7, you are called to eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
This eternal life is Jesus who speaks about eternal life and the Father. These two. Jesus defined eternal life as knowing the Father and knowing the Son, whom the Father sent. So we are going to look at we'll look at believing in Jesus, what he said, and also about eternal life, and also look at believe what God says about eternal life. So we are going to look at the sermon that Jesus preached about. He said, "I am the bread of life." That's in John chapter 6. I urge you to, when you go home, to read from verse 22 to verse 70. It's a long portion of scripture, so we are not going to read the entire scripture today. I will try to run through and pick some important points. If you go through John chapter 6, I think there are about three main areas. So the first part talks about the feeding of the 5,000. I like that one because that one is also about abundance. It shows how God is abundant. He provides abundantly. Out of 7 fish, Jesus just gives thanks. Then there is abundance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus was thankful for the little that was available.
Amen.
But when he looked at the crowd, it was impossible. In fact, his disciples was of the view that, no, let's make these people go and find food. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he said, find out what is here. Meaning God can do with whatever you have.
Amen.
He's a God of abundance.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's a God of abundance. So he feeds the 5,000. They go. He must have fed them very good bread. Because they came again.
Yes.
Food is good in church. Eh?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Church is about the word of God and food. Because these guys came looking for Jesus because of the food. So it's okay to look for the food in the house of God. Because you get both. You get the blessing, you also get the food. Hallelujah. So let's I'm trying to okay, let's read from verses 47 because we're not going to read from 20. 47, John chapter 6, from 47 to 51. Let's take a look at that. Okay, so when Jesus, I like Jesus, Because when Jesus saw that these guys are coming for the food, he prepared his sermon on the food. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So his sermon was based on the food. So he says, I am the bread of heaven. I'm the bread of life. He said, I'm the bread of life. So he says, okay, 47, let's go again. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I've picked this because I want you to relate the bread of heaven with everlasting life. So the I am the bread of heaven is about everlasting life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Let's move on. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. If you, in the book of Exodus chapter 16, let's quickly just look through Exodus chapter 16 verse 31. God provided, he's a God of abundance. And the house of Israel called its name manna. That was the supernatural food which God provided to the children of Israel when they were traveling in the wilderness for over 40 years. So he provided food. So, and the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers and made with honey. So let's go back to our scripture, John chapter 6. So manna was a supernatural food from heaven. Manna was called bread of heaven. Jesus calls himself bread of life. Hallelujah. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
That was bread from heaven, but Jesus is, he wants to preach about eternal life. So he adds the bread to the title of his message, and he calls himself the bread of life, the bread of eternal life. Hallelujah. Because he said he came to give life. So he calls himself, I'm the bread. So how do you get this life? Eat me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You like food, so eat me. Eat me. I'm the bread of heaven. I'm the bread of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 51. I am the living bread. He's saying he is the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. This is very clear what he's trying to say. Let's move on. Verse 52. The Jews, therefore, quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They were in the flesh. They were in the flesh. So they did not get the message. So they're saying, is he going to cut himself and give us his flesh? Let's continue. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. No, he was confusing. You have no life in you. Let's continue. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And my blood is drink indeed. who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in him.
Amen.
This way and that way. You are in him, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. If you eat the bread, let's continue. I'm getting excited. Let's continue. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Let's go up to 60. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So he was teaching this in church. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying." Indeed, it's a hard saying. Who can understand it? Let's just continue. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So what he was trying to say is, yes, you've come for the food. You like the food. But there is more that you can get that comes from the Spirit. So don't just park at the food.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't just park at the food. Don't just get excited with the food. There is a spiritual food which I'm trying to give you. So he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were. Who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. So he already knew. 65. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. So Jesus was trying to say he already knew who would believe and who would not believe. Jesus already knew you would believe. Those ones would not believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 66, I think we'll stop at verse 66, maybe. From that time, many, because of the hard saying, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Zavuta. Hallelujah. Antsika Yesu. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, what do we learn from there? Eternal life is not an easy thing. Right? You need your spiritual antennas to be up all the time. First of all, to understand it, grasp it, and take it in. When you believe, you live it out. So you live out what you believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is talking about the bread of life. He's talking about his flesh. He's talking about his blood. You remember when we do Holy Communion, We say, we take the bread. So maybe we have Holy Communion with a higher level of revelation. Hallelujah. We are taking the bread of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we say when we take Holy Communion, we are announcing his death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we take Holy Communion, we are recharging for the resurrection. It's a recharge. So we should view Holy Communion as an opportunity to recharge. God recharges us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Reminding us what he has made us to be. What he thinks we are. Although sometimes we don't exactly think what God thinks we are. We tend to belittle ourselves. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We tend to belittle ourselves, but God thinks of us highly. Highly. And hallelujah.
Amen.
He doesn't think of us highly only in church. He thinks of us highly wherever we go.
Amen.
In our workplaces.
Amen.
In our businesses.
Amen.
God thinks of us highly.
Amen.
This week when you go to work, when you go to business, be conscious of the eternal life that you are carrying.
Amen.
You are carrying. You are God's treasure.
Amen.
You are his inheritance.
Amen.
You are loaded.
Yes.
If you are guaranteed of resurrection, what can defeat you now?
Yes.
Amen.
Nothing can stand in your way.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus came that we might have life. And not just have life, but have it more abundantly.
Amen.
This is a year of more than enough.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we say more than enough, we're just thinking of money. No, no. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, money is part of it. Because we need money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God will give us more money.
Amen.
More than enough money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But let's take it as a package. The more than enough as a package. To cover all areas.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have looked at what Jesus said about himself. He said, I'm the bread of life. It's a hard saying. Indeed, it's a hard saying. But thank God. We can, you know, we prayed at the beginning. We prayed Acts 16, verse 14, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So that we absorb.
Amen.
So we will thank mom, because we prayed to absorb this hard saying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have absorbed the hard saying. So we need to respond. How do we respond? The way we live. We live as the ones who have received the eternal life. Who are aware of the seven things. Who know that this eternal life is a gift. Because you shouldn't look at yourself, I don't deserve it. It's a gift. You receive or you don't receive. And it's also a calling. So when you're called, you need to answer. Maybe some of you had not answered the call. But God is still calling. So, to tell your neighbor, today answer the call. Tell them, don't put it on hold. Don't send a message that I will call back later. You need to answer now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I should spare some time for dancing, eh? Okay, the second part that we're going to, we've looked at what Jesus said. I'm trying to make a difference. We've looked at what Jesus said. I think let's stop there. But please, when you go back home, read from verse, we said 22 to 70. Go through the story. Challenge yourself. Absorb it again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And believe it. And then respond. Now we are going to look at what God says. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are going to the book of John, 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5. Can you give us verse number 9? We might need to start from top. 1 John, chapter 5, verse number 9. Okay, let's go, let's start. Let's go to verse 7. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that we understand. The Bible says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. The issue here is about witnessing. In a courtroom, on court issues, court cases, there could be a judge, then there could be a complainant, respondent. So these two are allowed to bring witnesses. Those who are called to witness, to testify, to give evidence in a case. So the Bible says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. When I read, heaven is God. So God himself is bearing witness. So it says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So that's the Trinity. God the Father. Jesus here is referred to the Word. Remember, Jesus is the Word, became flesh. Hallelujah. So in heaven, there are three witnesses. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three agree. These three are one. They are one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll talk about when we talk about the Holy Spirit as well. So the three are one. There's God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness on earth. So you see, the Spirit is coming again. So the Spirit is, you can't bear witness if you're not there. So the Spirit is in heaven, but the Spirit is also present on earth. I used to, in my early years, I used to, for me to understand how the Holy Spirit operates. Because what I understood was, okay, the Holy Spirit is in heaven. The Holy Spirit is here in KICC, is in you, is in Australia, is in Zimbabwe, is in America. So I was like, I was imagining the Holy Spirit like, have you seen a spider's web? Right? So the chief spider sits at the center. Then it extends this way, that way. That's how it it helped my thinking. Because he's everywhere. But he's also in heaven. Hallelujah. So on earth, he says, there are three that bear witness on earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. This must be the blood that Jesus shed for us. Hallelujah. The water, I will not talk about those because there are controversies. Some say it's baptism. Others say it's the word. So make your own research. And these three agree on one. So the Holy Spirit, the word, and the blood, they agree on as one. Hallelujah. Verse 9 now. So he says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. So if God has testified, if God has appeared in a courtroom as a witness, he was coming to witness for his Son. Verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. You have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He who does not believe God has made him who? God, the liar. Because if a judge can dismiss a witness. If you come to the court and you give evidence that has loopholes, the judge can dismiss you and say you are a liar. You can even be imprisoned because you first of all take an oath that I'm going to say the truth, the whole truth, while holding the Bible. Hallelujah. So he says, he who believes in the Son of God has a witness himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Verse 11. And this is the testimony. Now he's stating the testimony. He's trying not to make this one a hard one. So this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. The next verse, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
These things, John was so blessed. So he says, these things have I have written to you. He's writing to people who believe. Those who have taken the heart saying, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. When I read, it got me thinking, you might believe in the name of the Son of God and not know that you have eternal life. So, John, the Apostle John, is writing these things so that we may know that we have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Sometimes When circumstances, bad circumstances, adversities in life, challenges come upon us, we start questioning our faith. You start questioning yourself. Is it working? Is it working for me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
But what the Bible is teaching us today, you should know, that you have eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
If you believe in the Son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, now the question to you is, do you believe the witness of God concerning his Son? That's what he is asking you today. That God himself had, now you have become the judge. God has come into the courtroom. God has taken the witness stand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is not the accused, but is the one you are doubting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because in this case, there's no accuser. No. But it's about doubt. It's about doubting the authenticity of Jesus. Is he truly? God is saying, he is my Son. He is the one that I am giving my life, my Zoe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To you.
Amen.
All you need to do is believe in him.
Amen.
And also believe in me. That's what the meaning of eternal life is, which Jesus gave us in John 17.
Amen.
Where he said, eternal life is knowing the Father and the Son whom he sent. So the Son that you must know, you must always know the Son as the one whom he sent. Because he sent him to you so that you may have eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This God is amazing. This God and his Son, they are amazing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God actually, this is for the for Easter. Let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 4. I just want to show you that this God declared, so he witnesses the eternal life. In this scripture, he talks about God declaring Jesus as his Son. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Romans chapter 1, Paul is defining himself. He calls himself called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which was proclaimed by the prophets. Then he says, according to, when he talks about Jesus, he said, okay, go to verse 3. Let's start from verse 3, just to put the matter in context. Verse 3, concerning his Son. So Paul was introducing himself. He was telling his CV. So he says, he's an apostle separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about Jesus Christ, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What I wanted to show you is God declared Jesus as his son through the resurrection. So he declared Jesus as his son through the power of resurrection. But how did he do it? The Spirit of holiness. Hallelujah. We are going to look at this when we go to Easter. Hallelujah.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.